Hi everyone, this is Jackie Fleeter. I'm from Patagonia, Arizona in my temple, and maybe Tucker, you have a picture of my temple. Giving you a talk today, an economic update. Saint Germain said that we should be aware of what's going on in the economies of the world, and so I'm going to tell you some things that are important, particularly right now. The biggest issue is the creation of a new central banking system, basically by China, Russia, Italy, Spain, and Brazil. This is the BRICS nations. And they've created a new central banking system outside of the dollar. This is a very important event. And this will ultimately bring the dollar, remove it from the reserve currency status. Recently, all of the United States allies have joined this union, and much to the U.S.'s chagrin. And I think it's actually a good thing in a way, because competition is good. We have the Federal Reserve and the central banking system that the Western powers have maintained, and the dollar is a reserve currency for a number of years now. And now, China, Russia, Italy, and Spain, and Brazil, and now basically all the other nations are joining into this central banking system being set up by China. Countries of the world are unhappy about accepting unbacked fiat currency, the dollar, created by our central banking system. They desire a gold-backed currency, at least, because they don't trust each other. Of course, everyone has their own fiat currencies that they're printing money, just like the United States. But they've been hoarding gold, and really, they desire real money for their goods and services. And I think that's a good thing. Are their motives pure? Well, you know, is the motives of the United States totally pure? There are good people in every country trying to do the right thing. And there are forces of darkness in every country. And so this is a struggle right now between the United States and Russia, China. And I believe this is really one of the major reasons for the war in the Ukraine and the Middle East is this situation of the dollar losing its reserve currency. The U.S. will eventually have to come up with gold to pay for its imports. That's what's coming up. And what has happened is there are people that believe that the war started in Ukraine, the war in Libya, and the covert operations in a number of countries have really been to steal their gold, so that, and they have stolen, and apparently at least the dark forces of our government have stolen Ukrainian gold and used it to pay back gold that they borrowed that was stored in the Federal Reserve, and to suppress the gold market, because if the gold price is suppressed, then inflation is not seen as bad and people will stay in the fiat currency. And also they have what is called these commodities markets, where you can come with dollars and buy gold. And so it was a quasi gold standard. Now our government, through the COMEX, the Commodities Exchange, has said that they will not deliver gold. This has been happening for the last 2 years. So other countries have been chagrined. They've been stuck with these printed dollars. They can't get gold with it. They can still do it through the London exchange, but that's going away, and they're running out of gold to acquire. And there's also rumors that they not only stole Ukrainian gold in this war in Ukraine, but they've also stolen Tsarist gold, or they already had it and they're using it as a means to cover this up. So all this wars and is going on because of they don't want to lose the dollar as the world reserve currency. If that happens, then U.S. will have to convert to Chinese yuan, for instance, or Russian ruble, or the Saudi Arabian currency to get oil or to get other goods and services. And they will have to pay in gold. They will not be able to pay in dollars. So that's why they are not happy with this. And plus, they have a control through the currency system, as we know. So the history of this is the U.S. had a deal with Saudi Arabia. If they required other countries to pay for oil with dollars, then the U.S. would protect them. This deal has broken down over the last few years, and Saudi Arabia is working, I guess, through the back door with China. And many of the OPEC nations are selling their oil now in other currencies besides the U.S. dollar. Again, I said this creates competition, having this new central banking system. And this will create a move to gold-backed currencies, I believe. So this is good in the long run. And the thing is that it may be fairly imminent that this will start occurring because Russia has already started to sell U.S. assets, dollars and bonds and things like that, that it had to be able to buy things. And China's doing likely the same. All the other countries of the world are moving to this other central banking system. So we will see. It could be 6 months to 2 years. So in general, this is good, but it will be a rough road for the United States, likely because nobody will want the currency. It'll start to come back to us and we will see inflation until we get our own economics under control. We've been spending, of course, in the United States, as every country has, too much, way, way too much money. And we have not been using any kind of fiscal restraint at state, local, and federal levels in many cases. And this is going to come to an end. We're like a bunch of debtors. All these credit cards we can charge, this is going to come to an end. So you can imagine that it's going to be challenging for the economy. But if we all are prepared for it, we won't feel it. We'll move through it quickly. There's another thing I'd like to comment on, too, was that some people think the U.S. caused the price of oil to go down to hurt the Russians in the economic war. There are other people who think that China worked with Saudi Arabia to suppress the oil to break the U.S. petrodollar, that's what it was called, and so that they could have a new currency system. Who are the good guys and who are the bad guys? It's hard to tell in this situation. U.S. now is supplying weapons to both sides of the conflict in the Middle East, U.S. weapons companies. And the other thing to note is that both U.S. and Russia have made nuclear threats lately. Recently, Russia, two or three weeks ago, talked about moving nuclear weapons close to the border to Ukraine, threatening to use nuclear weapons and threatening also Europe. And the U.S. last week tested a Minuteman III missile, which is pretty standard. They test them all the time, and it's really not their best technology. They made a statement that we're just showing the world that our Minuteman III missiles can hit anywhere in the world and target any country. And basically, they were threatening everyone with nuclear weapons because, I believe, of this new central banking system. And Britain has signed up for it. Japan has signed up for it. South Korea, all of the U.S.'s allies have said, forget it, we're going with this other central bank system. So you can see there's a lot of tensions in the world over this. Also, I mentioned that the European Union is also on the brink. It was a monetary union created by a bunch of bureaucrats. They are not doing a very good job of managing their economies through their own central bank that works in conjunction with the U.S. central bank. Greece is broke. That's where you've heard in the news. Sooner or later, they have to default and leave the euro. That's what some people believe. So the European Union can't be saved. It's just not a very good organization. This would cause major problems in the world markets. Some people think that Greece has about 2 weeks before they run out of money. They're having bank runs right now. They've lost 20% of their deposits in the last 3 months. They think that some people think that they're going to seize their deposits in Greece. Greece itself is not a big economy in the sense that if it defaults, but others will default with it. Italy, Spain are in similar situations and they really can't pay back the debts that they have. And part of it, they were kind of swindled to by the European Union to take on higher debts. The people were. So it's a situation to pray for. We'll see what the outcome is in the next few weeks. Next thing I'd like to talk about is another thing Saint Germain mentioned was cyber terrorism was going to be on the rise. And cyber crime may be included in that. I think it is. And it is big business now. So I wanted to alert your attention to about stealing people's identities. That is a big business now. And I was shocked to learn that people can steal. They not only steal your credit card information and do credit card fraud and sign up for all kinds of things in your name, but they also can steal your Social Security benefits, your unemployment benefits, an unemployment ID theft, Social Security benefits ID theft, health benefits ID theft. They can also steal your IRS ID, and they can file a fake return and get a refund in your name. And so these are the major, the fastest growing crime in the United States. And your chances are 1 in 3 every year of getting your ID stolen. Another thing is they just steal your gender ID and they operate a criminal enterprise under you. And then all of a sudden you're driving down the road and police pull you over and handcuff you. You're like, well, what do I do? And they're like, well, you stole this, you did that, you did that. Well, somebody stole your ID and then they committed all these crimes in your name. And now they're becoming more aware of it. Still, it's a big deal and spending a night in jail would not be fun. So I was listening to this on the Financial Survival Network, Patrick Crow. He's a former military officer who worked in ID confirmation, figuring out the IDs of people since 9/11. They've had to get into this. He spent a lot of time in this and he formed this company called keepmyid.org. And it's retired military and law enforcement personnel who can monitor your ID, basically. It's a monitoring service. I signed up for it. It costs about $19.95 and you get a 25% discount if you go to the Financial Sense Network and listen to the broadcast. They have a code FSN2 that you can put in. It's $19.95 a month and it's really the better service. There's other services like LifeLock and other credit monitoring services. They monitor your credit. That's the first step. But if you get in trouble, they don't help you get out of it. And so these guys do. They have retired military and law firms on your side. Part of your subscription goes to a $1 million insurance policy so that if you have some problem, somebody steals your Social Security benefits, if they do the ultimate bad thing and steal your whole ID and do criminal things, then they just take that insurance and hire lawyers and get you out of trouble. So that's the ultimate protection for ID. However, maybe some of us can't afford that. And they give you many other tips what to do. And the credit monitoring agencies don't do all of these steps. They do these steps so that there are other things you could do, like you can get a free credit report every year and look at it. You can place fraud alerts. You can do things to reduce your exposure of your address and phone number. You can register with the Social Security Administration. You can fill out an IRS identity theft form. They recommend shredding all your documents, including addresses and phone numbers, which I didn't use because these are answers to security questions. The other things they recommend are don't give accurate date of birth online. So if you're signing up for something, don't give your accurate date of birth. The two things that thieves need are really important are Social Security number and date of birth are critical. And if you go to the doctor's office, avoid giving them your Social Security number. They'll probably be upset with that, but that's what he's recommending. If you guys would go to that URL that's posted, Financial Survival Network, Patrick Crow, Introducing Military Grade Identity Theft Protection. It's on the website. Then you can listen to that broadcast and you can start protecting yourself and monitoring it. I've been had 2 or 3 incidents in the past year where they were charging on my credit card and I've had it in the past, bad charges. Nobody's immune. Chief Justice of the Supreme Court got hit. The Vice President got hit. Michelle Obama got hit. Also many celebrities. So it's something to keep in mind. And we don't want to be fearful. We also have extra protection because we're doing our decrees and things like that. You determine yourself what level that you feel you require. But certainly looking at your credit report once a year is pretty easy, and you get a free one, might be worth your time. And registering for your Social Security already, you know, things like that. It's easy to do, and it keeps the thieves from getting a hold of that, having the possibility of causing you problems in that way and stealing your benefits. The other thing I'm going over here, I just wanted to mention too that since Saint Germain talked about knowing what's going on in the economy, I thought I would go over some economies throughout the world and just say what's going on with them. I picked South American economies and the top five countries in there, and just to mention what they do, what's going on with them very briefly, so that we have an idea of what's going on in these countries. So let's talk about Brazil. It's a representative democracy. It's the sixth largest economy in the world and one of the fastest growing, although the growth has slowed in the last few years. It's the fifth largest number of billionaires on the planet. And in 1990, it took steps to open and liberalize its economy. Its main exports are iron ore, oil, soybeans, sugar, and coffee. Argentina is also a representative democracy. They have high inflation right now and price controls. They're struggling to pay their debts. They have high taxes, and they got a lot of loans to the international bankers. I think they have high corruption too, is what I've noticed. And they have a strike going on right now because of the high taxes and high inflation. So that economy definitely needs our prayers. They do 51% export in agriculture. I know they use a lot of GMOs, 32% manufacturing, and 12% in fuels and mining is their economy. Chile is the representative democracy, considered South America's most stable and prosperous economy, leading the Latin American nations in income per capita, globalization, economic freedom, and low perception of corruption. And by the way, if our South American friends are listening, I got this from Wikipedia, so if I'm incorrect on something, let me know. This is what I'm getting from Wikipedia. So Chile's a pretty stable country right now. Peru, they are also a representative democracy. They have low inflation, high employment, considered upper middle class income by the World Bank, another one of the fastest growing economies. Focuses on prudent fiscal spending, reserve accumulation, fiscal surplus, investment grade status. Poverty has decreased dramatically, 50% in the last few years. So Peru is an up and coming country. I think I mentioned Peru also produces a lot of copper and gold. That's 60%, and other metals is there of their industry. Oil and gas is 10%, and agriculture is 9%. Fish is another thing they export at 7%. Venezuela, their main thing is crude oil and manufacturing, steel, aluminum, cement is 17%. So crude oil is 50%, manufacturing, heavy products is 17%. It's a socialist dominant party system. And, you know, Hugo Chavez was much in the news, and he's passed away, and they have a new leader. They are also having a lot of problems. Their currency devaluations, price control, severe shortages of food and other goods. Has one of the highest inflation rates in the world, around 30%, along with Argentina. So that's another country we can pray for. So there are many other little, smaller countries in South America, but that gives you a snapshot of what's going on down there and how we can envision perfect vision for them. And so with that, why don't we say our perfect vision decree 50.001.